Now, please bend down. Find a comfortable place to listen. Even though I'm only giving you some instructions that I have used myself and developed myself, there's no particular need to fall into anything. You're already going to be modulating the way you think about some things, and in so doing, opening yourself up to learning by ritual. The lovely reason why I wanted a lucid dreaming module to be part of the whole arrangement even before I saw that you'd mentioned it, from the moment I knew what we were going to do, is that you have a few powerful anchors you can draw on. That silvery thread I mentioned in many lucid dreaming learning communities is something people just think of as tied to them. I think it comes from D&D and the idea of an astral cord, and I'm sure that some occultist or another would turn to me and say, well, it comes from meditation or this or that psychological tradition. But a silvery thread epitomizing that it's tied to you and back to your body feels kind of like a safety anchor or a safety vest when you spend some time visualizing it. And since I've given you ample opportunity to visualize that exact thing, you see what I'm getting at. You may know something about deliberately induced lucid dreaming already, but I encourage independent study when you have time. I'm going to try and go over the majority of it here, and I definitely hit all the points in your longer piece. But by now, you're kind of comfortable listening to me and not feeling like I'm making fun of you and not thinking that I'm going to say anything for reasons other than to help you out. Rapport, as you mentioned, being a key part of trance. Well, if you're learning this kind of thing, or even meditation, it helps to be hearing it from someone that you think probably has some credibility. I'm not selling anything, although I will proselytize that learning to lucid dream has a bunch of advantages. Your brain learns through repetition, so you really do have to take this one on board. But you are already keeping a weather eye on the moon and accustomed to feeling that tug inside, and you're learning through the acting things I mentioned, what you could think of as acting as if, but never think of it as fake it till you make it. And this one, you literally know is a thing that happens. So I'm giving you an easy softball with a bunch of structure around it, a kind of latticework to reinforce it. The first principle of lucid dreaming is almost insultingly simple, and that's why you get the preamble. If you've read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or really if you've had any conversation about don't think about an elephant, etc., but people can do it. And that lucid dreaming thing is, the mind does what it practices. You're building a pathway, you're digging a groove that is easier to go along, like the paths in your comfort in nature piece, like the paths that that silvery thread winds along, and there's a labyrinth metaphor there, because the process of learning anything that is as raw and important to us and useful for our healing or survival or existence, well, it tends to engage in a lot of blind alleyways or feeling discouraged. The thread is there to remind you there's a path both forward and back. If you treat dreams like disposable static, if you throw them away, they stay disposable. If you only save the ones and cherish the ones that begin in a wolf form place, then you'll miss all the ones you could turn that way. And learning to reason with yourself is something you're uniquely positioned to do. What I mean by that is, you do what you practice, but you also speak your own language without the need for a Rosetta Stone. I've intuited what I can from your writing, from your responses, but I give you the edits for that reason, so we can get as close as possible to the mark. And you make a door. That's what you do. If you've seen Beetlejuice, first, draw a door. But you treat it like a place you return to on purpose. Now, in your case, I change my standard advice to, you can imagine the entryway to a den. And the way that you might begin to know you are lucid dreaming, I will revisit this and turn to it in the main file, is that you don't have to duck down to go through the den, because your human seeming can slip. In lucid dreaming, where the rules are a little different, and where we're already tired, and if we're already good at going into trance, or we're in any way particularly tired, this becomes stronger, you sometimes leave things behind. I speak repeatedly in the work you've already listened to of leaving some things behind. So, when you imagine a door, you might imagine that it can lead to a den with many entrances and many exits. This goes back to the thing I said about how when you are denning down, that is both anchor and a reminder that you're going down into the den of you. And not needing to duck to go in is an indicator that the human seeming has slipped away and the wolf is at the right level, physically and mentally. When you enter that door that you make in your mind, you may then exit it in other places. So say you're having a dream that isn't about the wolf at all. Well, you and I both know, and frankly, I understand it, that you would like to go to the wolf place right away. So what do? You make a door, a den door, a kind of assemblage of sticks or burrowed out ground or just a fallen tree in the right place against a hill. And then you imagine what's in there. But make it something that's good for you. So I'm going to add a few tips here, which I've just written down so I don't forget to reinforce them later. Find a scent you like. There is a cologne oil called Wolfling that I actually quite enjoy. But find any scent you like that resonates with, as a wolf, this might be what comforting places, familiarity, what the territory and the landscape is. And the landscape is not the territory. You start in a non-wolf dream. You go through the door. You den down. Oops. You have to be a wolf to go to the wolf-connected denning down door. Those kind of internal logics are useful. Same posture, same nest, same moment of settling, and oops, we've just created a system where the one reinforces the other. I think you get it. This is also relevant because noticing you are a wolf is a valid lucid dreaming anchor. I have friends who have various anchors that are just, if my form is this, then it means that my already developed form for using these mental muscles is at play. And if your form is not that, then the first thing you learn to change in a dream is the thing you care about that you're also practicing embedding elsewhere. You give more territory in your mind. I'm always like, oh, give me 1 or 2 or 3% of your brain just to store my tools in. You can give wolf thoughts and wolf-related mechanisms, including acting as if to become as you are, and denning down in the nervous system of dream. These things can be given as much of your brain as you like. Den down, that's a signal. We're doing dream work now. And I say it here because we are dream work adjacent. You don't need to be perfect because you're practicing, developing consistency to turn a rare event into an acquired skill. And advantageously, you've been in that rare event before. So you practice gradual control. Lucid dreaming isn't one thing, it's a set of skills, and a spectrum, too. In the same way that fantasia, imagining, which aids actualizing, which is what you're doing with your wolfish shape-shifting bursting beyond the seams, and with your seeming slipping even outside your dreams, it's a spectrum, sometimes brief flicker, 1 second of, oh, this is a dream, and then back into the system of it. And your familiarity with trance means you understand how you might not fully understand something is a dream, so we learn our training to fall to the level of our training so that when we do need the mechanisms, they're automatic. Sometimes a lucid experience is full, stable, and bright. As bright as the full moon. See, light cues are part of it. A bright experience and an easy visual imagining. Often our lucid dreaming experience incorporates some level of light if we have light in the room we're in, because turning and moving or the rapid flickering of your eyelids might pull some awareness of the light in. The mind learns from the flickers if you are in a practiced state of minding and reminding yourself. The mind builds from those fragments. The second principle, beyond that this is a practice, even though that sounds silly and like I'm telling you what you already know, but it needs to be a routine and ritual practice. But yes, the second point is that you're training recognition. And training recognition is just about your perceptual filters, which, oops, again, I have given you cause to practice in sensing the awareness between wolf brain denning down and sensing things more intently, more intensely, or with some colors muted out, some sounds relocated so you can turn your audio perception in that equilibrium moving way I mentioned to locate a roundabout where something is. Stability comes from recognition. You recognize it's a dream and you don't wake up. And when recognizing you're in that dream, stability turns to agency because you practice the tiny motions as you practice the tiny seeing and the larger moon-influenced gravity, the shapeshift burst intensity. If you try to jump straight to total control, the dream may collapse or turn into a strained performance, and you want something as natural and instinctive as you, the wolf, are. I think you might get that, and if you don't, then as you get experience, more of these things may make more sense. The dream becoming something where you try, but not so hard you wake yourself up. Turning back to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and how easy it is to fly. So we practice gradual control, small changes, and then you let the stream of the dream continue. Being a wolf is all you want, so a wolf in a silly situation isn't that strange. I'm sure there's videos on YouTube. You practice gradual control, first noticing, then steadying, then choosing. It's a practice, and it's a filter upon your recognition. And that's where we get to anchors. I mentioned noticing you're a wolf or having your den down door be a literal den can be things that you learn over time. But pick one anchor, a single cue that means check if this is reality. Just one to keep it clean. It can be your hands, your paws, looking at them. It can be looking at text and seeing that you can't read. And you may have to test some of these, devoting a moon cycle or so to different lucid dreaming anchors. It's just something your brain knows to look for. And therefore, you should do it when you're awake, too. It can be the moon, its presence, its phase being correct, any recurring motif. And an anchor doesn't need to be something that obviously proves it's a dream, because checking is an act of agency. So if the dream is about something else and you check the moon, it's just a habit. In waking life, you practice that habit gently. Notice the anchor and ask yourself, am I dreaming while awake? Boom. This links into it is a practice, which was point one, and it is a perceptual filter, which was point two, and so we're at point three. Select an anchor. You don't gotta do it 100 times a day, but a few when it comes to you. And therefore, checking the moon may be something that works for you. And if that doesn't help you lucid dream, because it needs to be an anchor that helps you to break free from the unknowing pattern of your subconscious processing. But you do it enough that your brain does it automatically, and since you already have something like that, I encourage you to try the moon. The reason it works isn't mystical. Your dreaming mind borrows from your waking habits. You fall to the level of your training, so the movements become automatic. If a reality check, checking reality, becomes a reflex, and if it's one where you don't then try to wake yourself up, that's why it's perfect to practice while you're awake, because if you find reality confirmed by your anchor, and maybe the moon is a good one to use, and then your lucid dreaming practice happens at night, which is also probably a good time for wolf practice. But eventually the reflex will just propagate itself into the dream. That's the moment you're training for. The reflex firing when you don't expect it, and being a gentle signal to practice making gentle changes. So, another principle. Dreams become lucid more often when you remember them. This is one of the things I said I would circle back to. Recall and that perceptual filtering that comes with recall and that anchored response that comes with recall is fuel for your changes and for the textures of your dream to be more affirmed, because you'll never be thinking, oh, I need to remember this, because you're recalling them for a dream journal. You're recalling them by locking certain details in your brain. That's the tricky thing about lucid dreaming. And if any of this is stuff you know, you can have me cut it out or skip past it, but being told things you should know, especially when you're excited about something, even when you already know them, is another form of practice, reinforcement, and perceptual filtering. So, when you wake up, Don't throw your mind into the day, and this may be advantaged by waking up a little before you have to do things, like adding an extra 15 minutes. Have a dream journal under your pillow or where you can grab it, or type it on your phone, or have a voice memo on your phone that goes right to transcription. But just stay still for a second, and then replay your dream backward from the end toward the beginning, like catching fragments of it, collecting bits of that silvery light that push you over the threshold. We've talked about this. And even if you only get small fragments at first, oh, I've already primed you that this is a practice and that it's about altering your perceptual filters. It would be surprising if you got them all, but maybe you've been practicing it enough. You could be at a more advanced level than this, in which case, hold on, we're going to get to more and more advanced stuff. But in the moments when you wake, you replay the dream backward from the end toward the beginning, catching as many fragments as you can. Don't judge yourself. This is a similar skill to meditation at which I'm quite practiced. Any of the things I say may be difficult. I don't mean to be dismissive by saying don't do this or do that. It's all part of that practice. You catch images, feelings, locations, impressions, and a wolf may be very good at that now that I think of it. Then let yourself feel satisfied if you capture even one thing, because that satisfaction teaches your brain that you don't have to be anxious about retaining your dream, that you will be forgiving, and then when you're in the dream, even if you're lucid, you aren't using any part of your lucid brain to try and hold on to details, because you know what you do when you wake up. See what I mean? Write them down if you can, or record them like I said. But the replay kind of matters more, especially at first. Having a dream journal is good, though, because then you notice connectivity, you notice if you did or didn't use your anchor, and maybe you need to adjust your anchor. You're kind of letting your brain go, store this. The more you store, the more the dream world is familiar enough. And I've already given you a useful tool I use of having an interconnected network of tunnels or dens. When I talk about me having a workshop or moving in the periphery of your dream, or when my dream walking, patter walking perception of myself is someone who can open any lock, there are reasons for that. I learned lock picking in real life to be better at lucid dreaming. This also builds into that rapport thing where the more you know about me and where I'm coming from, the easier it is for you to Rosetta Stone my remarks. Now, another principle, our fifth one. Lucidity stabilizes through your senses. This is super useful for a wolf. This has gotta be, because it's useful to me, but I climb inside my senses on purpose. I mentioned using a cologne or incense or having a place that is your own, but you're doing this in your bedroom anyway. Giving it texture and letting some of that texture leak into the dream is a trick useful to some people. Not to all people. Take it or leave it. Just put it in the mix. So yeah, when you treat your dream as a place you inhabit and spread your senses over it, and yes, you caught me, I put some of this into your Comfort in Nature and Core files already. And my tone will be different here because I'm ad-libbing this off the top of my head with some rough notes. Let's see. And trying to kind of go over everything that I did in the other tracks that should be useful here. Now. There. The prior stuff may be a little too loud, sorry about that, but better to notice late than never. And again, this isn't for trance, it's just things you might take notes on. So this is not charged against what you've paid me at all. This is just extra warm-up or things I know will make the file work better. So lucidity stabilizes through your senses. What this means is climb inside your nose, your ears, their keenness, their instinctual tie directly to the instructions of the body. That, you know, a wolf instinct is a powerful anchoring thing in its own right. And in that sense, try to remember the senses when you do the remembering I've just mentioned. The one image, one feeling, one location. Try to add that flavor to it afterward by seeking it out. Now, since you are analyzing dreams, you may backfill some details about them. This is not lying to yourself. It's not deception. It is, in fact, part of the fabrication process. You are engaging in an imaginative exercise. So all the things I said about acting talking and acting as if. So you look at your hands and notice the difference. You notice any strangeness. You feel ground beneath your feet, and if it feels like no ground you've ever felt, then that too may provoke lucidity. Listen for distance and place things. The thing I said about wolf ears and different ranges of hearing that allow for three-dimensional location, like the real thing. Your real ears in your dream ears. So notice the air on your skin or sensory attention. Anything that qualifies as sensory attention will make the dream render more clearly. You're querying it to render it more clearly. Lucidity arrives through the senses. It thickens the scene, if that makes sense. It makes you less likely to jolt yourself out of it because the senses are anchoring. It, like how you often can really believe a dream was real and even be affected by it emotionally for a short time after waking, if you've ever experienced that. Excitement is like a big lucidity killer. Not because excitement's bad, and as you firm up the dream, you can be excited, but just be you instead. It spikes what is called somnolic arousal, like sleep arousal. Not like erotic arousal, but just rousing you from sleep and getting excited while in sleep are similar. But if you think of wolves, if you think of any animal response, running dreams are a thing. Dreams that are very intense, but they stay asleep. So you just don't want to turn the inner lantern too bright. And oh, what's a good example for a dim lantern? A distant and hazy moon. Maybe you dream more at the new moon, because at the full moon you don't need to dream. The skill of gentle curiosity about your environment. Gentle practice of sensory anchoring and lucidity that doesn't get too excited. It is a tightrope to walk. I referenced Sophie in Howl's Moving Castle. I referenced Arthur Dent learning to fly. Lucid dreaming is easier as it gets normalized, which is what all these things, the anchor, the sensory feeling on purpose, the denning down and entering a familiar den with networks to various dreams, maybe, past and future, the process of having moonlight and wolf form and that silvery thread is all meant to build anchoring around it. Awareness without excitation. Normalization. Going back through the dream. Now, you negotiate control with your dream. It's not a blank canvas. The dream comes with stuff. Eventually, you may be skilled enough to duck out into your den and go to a different dream. But if you try to steer it instead of thinking about it in an elusive way. You think about the dream on the periphery. You don't want the story that's being told to rebel. You're in some part of your brain, some specific hallucination, and you might not be able to jump all the way to a very specific thing you want to project. So knowing a category of thing that you like to project, wolf dreams, running dreams, nature dreams, filling your life with imagery of it, this goes back to that scent and sense anchoring, and just don't yank it around like a steering wheel. You don't yank a steering wheel anyway, you steer slowly. You don't make sudden turns on the path for no reason. You plod along it with your senses as open as you can make them, so you can make small choices in response to things happen. Inhabit the dream by giving it belief. Practice gradually influencing it. Instead of demanding a new world, maybe you travel toward that world. Tell a story of a journey. If you've played Alan Wake, which is about how you can't just write the win into the story, you need to give it enough lattice work, that was a good one too. You need to give it latticing. Walk through a door and trust that something will be on the other side, but maybe let the narrative of the dream show you that and change it a little if you need to. What this skill is great for, and one of the things it often is developed for, is turning a dream into a good or neutral one if it isn't, or turning a neutral dream into a really good one, turning a corner to reveal something, including turning a corner in your den. So by having a strong anchor that is like a set of corridors, you turn any dream that happens to land in a natural location into one where you have a reasonable reason to go to a different part of nature. You know, thinking that something appears in your pocket, or thinking that your paw has fetched up upon something you want to encounter, is one good way to negotiate with the dream. confidence in small changes will actually make your dreams more cooperative. It's like you're having to reconcile with a part of your mind that is used to being unruly. Oh, look, you have experiences that are relevant there as well. You're working with the system instead of fighting it. And commitment is way better than intense stuff. Committing to, like, a small change will build itself. You can try lucid dreaming in long cycles where you're okay with small improvements. Try to conceptualize it that way. Teach your brain that this is gonna keep happening. Do not let, like, a failure on one night matter, because we don't dream every night. So you have to do this over a longitudinal, a long period where you have a consistent anchor. And instead of frantic effort, you do that thing I said. You negotiate, you make small changes, you remember one little scrap. You're carving a groove. You den down, anchor in, intend, sleep, recall. Now, intention is something I've alluded to, but go to sleep with intent to lucid dream. And the way to do that is to take as many things off your plate as possible. I'm just gonna experience this one and maybe make a little change. I'm gonna see my paw. I'm going to find the door to that den wherever I see it. Boom, by the way, that's a background anchor. And I'm gonna recall when I get up. So there will be zero, oh man, I hope I remember this dream. Because the dream remembering skill is like the easiest one to train. This is a pilgrimage to wolf time, but you're always going to remember wolf time intentionally. So even on an instinctive level, you'll never be worried that it'll all slip away. And sometimes, when you hold on to a bit of a dream, you have the same one again, or a similar or recurring one, or you remember more later. And remember, a journal is helpful, but if it comes to you during the day, you can just try to, like, think back through more of the dream. They don't always disappear, even though we are very vulnerable to them disappearing when we first wake up. That vulnerability is easily reducible. Now remember, it's very personal, and there may be a temptation, because of how personal this is to you, to try to win at lucid dreaming or to pursue it quickly. Letting it happen is, like, real hard, so you need to have, a mantra for that. I'm just letting this happen. I'm going slow. The more okay you are with it not working, the more likely it is to work, and that's very frustrating. But you are building a private space to explore a version of yourself that is more true, free, vivid for you. That means your practice has to be an agreement over time with yourself, where you don't argue about what's real in a philosophical way, and where you don't get mad at yourself for filling in details or keep yourself from doing so. Don't feel like you have to validate your experiences. Everything we experience is subjective anyway. The training is real. That remembering dream thing is real. Use all the realities to build a confidence in yourself that is unassailable. Because obviously you have some skeptical bones in you, I think, and that is A-okay. All the things I'm saying here are meant to use our rapport and to build on the existing material to reduce that skepticism for your benefit through things that won't feel like you're being asked to make really any kind of leap, because you're doing it over time, and I'm just here to remind you of the skeleton of that training. More frequent moments of noticing, longer periods of lucidity, that's the other thing. Remember, you may be lucid at the start of the dream, but not all the way through, especially if you get into the dream, and that's actually a good thing, because what you want to do is make a few changes, then let it run itself. It's like learning an instrument. Muscle memory is real. Choose a ritual for, like, going to sleep. I often reflect myself and the moon in a mirror on a night before I lucid dream, and I have a little altar. It doesn't matter if you're spiritual, you're giving your brain signifiers that you have entered the mystic space in a metaphorical sense. You have entered a separated space where the rules are more fungible. We let society, well, you know this because of your wolf experiences in the first place. We let society tell us a lot about who we are and what we're allowed to think, and that impermissibility kills imagination, and imagination actually can alter our neuroplastic mind. I am the prototype for this. I am very good at this. So you den down, not because it's pressured in, but because that den is going to show up somewhere. The more real you make it, this is where scents and senses and sensory things in the real world and scents and senses and sensory things in the dream all help you. Then you sleep, And this will probably improve your sleep hygiene because you'll go earlier and not keep yourself as awake, and you want the energy. You replay what you can when you wake up. If you don't remember anything, remember, we don't dream every night. And even if you got to be the best in the world at this, you still wouldn't. But it happens more than people think. And that should be enough to reinforce the habit. You do a kind of ritual and just thinking, I'm gonna den down. My anchor thing I'm looking for is this. And remember, you may have to cycle through several anchors. A friend turns a ring on their finger, and if the ring turns freely, then that means it's a dream, because in the real world, the ring is kinda tight on their finger and takes some effort to turn. It can be whatever works for you, probably some moon or wolf thing, and yeah, I gave you a few examples. Once you recognize you're there, then you can gently steer the dream, maybe look for that den or form it, and you want your sensory steadiness to kind of fuel you. The more you can sense something, anything, then gradually steer it and stay committed. Den down, choose an anchor, plant your specific intention, and let it kind of grow like a seed in the dream. Taking control is gradual. Practicing is mandatory. Impatient people never get good at this. You may have to cultivate patience. And if you've made it through 30 minutes of me rambling about lucid dreaming, you've cultivated patience. I am now going to go record the other one because I actually had all three of these written before you paid me, because I was pretty sure you were going to pay me, and there's no reason for you to have to wait when you're already synchronizing the moon stuff and working on it, and because your initial enthusiasm, even if it's not great when you're in a dream, is good for the practice development and the slow building of the groove. Take care of yourself. I hope this was helpful. And remember to howl. Seriously, you have to do the things that you want to become natural things. I'm sure you do already, but this is another of those. You gotta do it for real. You can't just do it in bursts. You can't just do it a few days. I want to hear about how you've been doing it for 300 days. You get me? All right. Really, take care. I'm working hard over here.